Greetings, podcast listeners. This is Dan with Spark R&D, and welcome to episode 4 of the Spark R&D podcast. Back in February of this year, the Spark crew was across the ocean attending the ISPO trade show in Munich, Germany. During the show, I had a chance to speak with the founder and the main contributor to splitboarding.eu, Patrick Schirkel. Patrick has a wealth of splitboard knowledge thanks to his 10-plus years in the backcountry, and we discussed how splitboarding.eu began, the state of splitboarding in Germany, his plans for the winter, and his general thoughts on the show to that point. Many thanks to Patrick for speaking with me, and I think that our listeners out there are definitely going to enjoy the conversation that him and I had. So with that, I'm happy to bring you episode 4 of the Spark R&D podcast. Here at ISPO 2017 in Munich, Germany, and I'm sitting here with Patrick Schirkel. He is kind of the head of splitboarding.eu, one of the leading splitboarding blogs in Europe and kind of in the world. He's definitely an expert, in my opinion, on kind of all things splitboarding. So, Patrick, welcome, and thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks to you, Dan, from Spark R&D. And I'm happy to sit here with you, and I'm ready to answer some questions.
Great. Maybe you can start with why did you start splitboarding.eu?
Yeah, actually, I was doing lots of touring in the beginning with the records and after one with the splitboard, and there didn't have been so many splitboarding buddies at those times because people were still stuck with the lifts. But I wanted to go splitboarding, discover the backcountry and see just a little bit more than the usual. And yes, and there haven't been many people, and I was already doing lots of touring. I wanted to start like a touring diary to write down conditions, to write down something about the different routes I did, and also to get to know some more people who would like to join me in this passion. And yeah, that's one reason. And then I checked a little bit the situation, and I saw that there is just the splitboard.com, which is the biggest and most known splitboard blog. And in those times, there was a Spanish kind of catalog. And so we decided, yeah, why not being a little bit bigger than a diary? Just go for splitboarding.eu and let's see what will happen.
When did you start that?
It was in the year 2011, the season 2011-2012.
So you've been doing splitboarding.eu and writing about splitboarding, reviewing for about 5 years.
Yeah, right.
What is the splitboarding scene like in Germany?
In Germany, it's growing. It's still growing a lot, and we see every time more splitboarders. But it's a kind of scene that the people are a little bit older. They are more experienced with snowboards. Lots of people already started to begin skiing again, came back to snowboarding or splitboarding because they are open for the backcountry. They just like the mountains. They like the whole scenery. And yeah, they enjoy the whole thing, like hiking up and climbing and then having a great ride down.
How has splitboarding changed in Germany since you began splitboarding.eu? Have you seen many changes?
I have seen many changes in the quantity of splitboarders. When we started, actually I started with the splitboarding in 2005 with the first Burton S series. But it was the material was not ready yet. It was not so good. So I went back to the records until 2009, and then I got my first splitboard, a Volé, a really heavy duty, a long one. And yeah, that was like the first day of splitboarding, real splitboarding. And then I was sure that the material is okay. And when we started to present the market. It was like 10 brands in the beginning, maybe 15 brands. Mm-hmm. We had the complete market overview. Mm-hmm. The next year it was maybe 30. And then it was like the third year, it was a blast of 70, 80 different splitboards in the market already.
Yeah,
then, you know, splitboarding.eu, in those times we just had been two people. And so we decided we can just take the brands in our market overview who deliver in time. Mm-hmm. And so we reduced the amount of brands to like 30 brands and around 40, 50 splitboards. And yeah, now there are coming up still different brands.
Have you seen anything interesting at the show this year that caught your eye?
Yeah, for sure. The new Amplit stuff, the MilliSurf and the Milligram is already well known. These boards are super light. And you know, if you go 90% of the time you are splitboarding, you go uphill and you want to go a little bit further, like between 1,000 and 2,000 altimeters, it's worth to have a quite light equipment, like also with the Spark Arc or with the Spark Surge binding. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it makes everything much easier.
What about, you know, just trends in general that you're seeing in splitboarding? Is there anything that you're just interested in that you're kind of seeing develop over time, like the carbon or the different technologies?
What I see, many people have their main focus on the boards, but it's not just splitboards. Yeah. It's like the combination of board, binding, and boot. Because if you just have your focus on the splitboard, you can have a great splitboard, but if you don't have the corresponding binding, you will not get the best performance out of it.
What boots are you riding?
I'm riding at the moment, actually I'm testing all the time.
Sure.
Regarding the board feel, I prefer the Deluxe. The new Deluxe has an incredible sole. You are so directly connected to the board and you really feel it. For hiking, it's the Fitwell.
Yep.
The Fitwell Backcountry and the Fitwell Freeride. Mm-hmm. And last year I also had the chance to use the Jones boot.
What did you think?
And yeah, it's a great boot. It has a good feature with a little bit higher, how is this called?
The toe.
With a little bit higher toe box.
Yep.
And so when it's really cold, you have the good possibility to move your feet.
Sure.
And to keep warm. Yep. And yeah, the grip of all of the boots is excellent. They are quite stiff, so you have a good power transmission. And yeah, some special features, for example the Jones with the big zipper and the lace protection. It's good if you really go exploring and if you are out for several days, then it definitely makes sense. Also the new North Wave Domain CR, which is the first boot in the market with full automatic crampon compatibility.
Wow, yep.
It's quite interesting one. Maybe you could also use it for hard boot bindings, but nobody tested at the moment. It was just in my mind, yeah, maybe can be possible. And yeah, it's a little bit longer. This is a big problem of all the boots, all the splitboard specific boots, because of the back weld and the Vibram sole, they are a little bit longer.
Yep.
And there must be a development to get them shorter.
Sure. That's why it's nice to have the heel riser sometimes, or the binding riser for a spark gear.
Yeah, yep. Right.
What would you like to see in the industry, you know, if you were to choose like some of the trends or developments? You know, you just kind of mentioned one with maybe the shorter sole length on some of those mountaineer kind of split board specific boots, but what else would you like to see in the industry?
Actually, yeah, that's a good question. Actually, at the moment, the development is quite good,
yeah.
And all the brands pushed it way forward compared to 5 years ago. What I would like to see is some new interesting shapes, mm-hmm. also focused on the uphill.
Sure.
I mean, there are several, in my opinion, nice tries with three-part or four-part split boards, mm-hmm. but those has to be really refined and really get them up to the spot. At the moment, it's just experimenting in my point of view. And yeah, regarding bindings, maybe you could add some kind of ears to the binding, to the high back, that you just switch it, and then you get the super power transmission, and then you can switch it back for comfortable riding mode. Mm-hmm. This could be a funny option.
He was gesturing for lateral motion right there too, so we'll talk to Will, see what we can do.
Yeah, all right, cool. And yeah, it's always a little bit a hassle to use the heel risers, mm-hmm. but since this year, as far as I heard, the Spark will use their whammy bars in the production in every kind of binding, not as a spare part, but in their sets.
Yep, it was an accessory this year.
Yeah.
And next year it'll be in all the bindings.
So. Yeah, it definitely makes sense because you really just do like one push. It's open and you, with the basket of your pole, you just put it back. So this will make it very easy. Because when I remember the first times with the Volley heel risers, it was always such a hassle to get them out and to get them back in.
Sure.
That we just didn't use it. But if you go longer, if you do longer touring and if you're just a complete day out in the mountains, it makes it much more easy and comfortable. And you also save lots of your own power.
Energy, yeah,
and
of
energy,
course.
Yeah.
I guess my last question for you, Patrick, you know, we're talking about all this technology. Do you have any interesting trips coming up that you're looking forward to for backcountry travel?
Yeah, actually, there's so much just behind your corner. You just open your eyes and you will recognize, oh man, in this lifetime I'm not able to ride every line just beside my house. So yeah, we are trying to get most lines in of our home resorts, our home backcountry spots. And maybe we go again to Chamonix, because since a few years we got a little bit into steep riding.
Sure.
It's lots of fun. And yeah, maybe Kazakhstan can be a good option as well, or Kyrgyzstan.
Mm-hmm.
So those eastern countries, there are not many people around and they are pretty wild still.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pure backcountry snowboarding and backcountry splitboarding.
Do you have, you know, you listed Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan there. Do you have like one destination that you're really looking forward to going splitboarding someday? In English, we would call it like a bucket list. Like, a place that you know you're going to go someday and you're excited to?
Yeah, I'm excited about getting to know how my body reacts at higher altitudes, like 5,000 meters or maybe 6. And there's this forgot the name now. The Karsberg. I was looking at the Karsberg near Gudauri, and yeah, it has some really beautiful shoots and lines, not on the main route, but on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But for us being here,
is that in Kyrgyzstan or Kazakhstan?
It's in Georgia.
Oh, it's in
Georgia. It's not for this year. It's just on the bucket list.
Yep.
because for us it's very difficult to really check the conditions. And if we go there and the conditions at this mountain are very difficult, lots of wind, sometimes not so many snow, sometimes too much snow. And if I go there, I'm looking just for two interesting lines, and if I can score them would be great. And if not, it's just another mountain, I think a little bit higher, but
sure.
Anyway,
cool. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me. I've enjoyed chatting with you, learning a little bit more about splitboarding.eu, and I think that the Spark followers will be interested too. We really appreciate people that are passionate about splitboarding and interested in splitboarding and trying to get more information about splitboarding. So I guess from the Spark side, we're just appreciative of what you guys do. So keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you very much. And the same we say to you, that we are pretty amazed by what you are doing. And yeah, Will, Becca, Dan, all the whole crew, just go for it and keep on developing great stuff. Thank you very much for your time as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Patrick. All right, that was splitboarding.eu's Patrick Scherkel. I highly recommend heading over to splitboarding.eu to check it out if you get the chance. They have a great archive of trip reports, gear reviews to go along with all sorts of other great splitboarding-related content. My thanks again to Patrick for speaking with me at ISPO 2017, and my thanks to all of you for listening. Please remember to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or however you are finding and listening to our show. And just remember, I'm always open to ideas for shows that could be topics or interviewees. You can email me your thoughts at dan@sparkrnd.com. And this has been episode 4 of the Spark R&D Podcast.